Put yourself in this situation. Would you rather be on tour right now with the men's hockey team? Just, I don't know if they've been sober since they won.
Well, they're still on South Beach partying. Yeah, dude.
Or in the locker room of your team, because you've done this. You've been in a locker room when the team's won and the champagne spray.
Yeah.
Would you like to experience that with the pro team that you follow and maybe grew up watching? Like Royals or Chiefs, right? Like, let's say last year we go to New Orleans and the Chiefs are just champagne spraying in the locker room. Or you can be with the U.S. men's hockey team right now.
Since I've already done the Royals, I'll go with the men's hockey team.
Because the Royals thing was sick, right?
It was nuts. It was insane.
Vern was explaining yesterday. I thought it was really cool. I thought the best part about the interview yesterday we had with Vern, if you missed it, you can check out the Odyssey app, download the app, check out the Vern interview yesterday, which we'll get to a little bit later, what he had to say about a reliever for the Royals.
Oh, I got that in my notes.
Yeah. Scared is my one word.
As soon as the interview was over yesterday, he goes, you write that down in your notes? I go, yep.
I said February 23rd, Bob. But he explained like watching the gold medal game with the Royals players and how Salvador Perez was trolling the Canadian players on the team, which there you go. Didn't know we had two Canadian players on the roster. But having him describe like watching athletes that we admire acting just like we would.
Yeah.
And like you were in that locker room when they won the World Series and you didn't give a rip if you got champagne all over your face or your hair or your clothes.
No.
You just lose all control because everybody's doing it.
Yeah, you just didn't want to get in your eyes.
Yeah, did you have the goggles?
No.
You just went
Yeah, I
raw.
Just went. Yeah, oh yeah. I was not. Karen Kornacki had the goggles and
really?
The poncho. I'll show you the picture in a break.
Great.
It was fantastic. She was prepared, you know, in 14 for all of this.
She was probably there in 85, too.
I was just going to say, she covered it in 85, and so that was kind of cool that she had the opportunity to do 85 and then again in 14 and 15 and be part of that, but she was well prepared with the ski goggles, and I went, I'm not going to need that. Yeah, you do, because that stuff, I mean.
It burns
like a son of a gun. I hope to have more, you know, of those opportunities for everybody to celebrate, but I'll never take that for granted. Being there in New York and watching them win that world championship, the only thing is you wish it was at home, you know. But you can't sit there and say, "Well, let's just play and get back home," because sometimes
they score too fast,
all that kind of stuff. No, you just take what they give you. You take that championship and you enjoy it. And it was a lot of fun, you know, seeing those guys celebrate. But hockey players are a different level of celebrators. I mean, you see what they do with the Stanley Cup and how they all take it around,
and the talent that surrounds hockey players.
Yeah, a lot of it, and sometimes babies end up in the Stanley Cup. And, you know, so I think partying with hockey players would probably be like, that's probably peak number one of like athlete you want to party with. I think hockey player is probably number one. NBA player, probably a different level of party than what hockey players are. Like, I would imagine in the NBA, it's more expensive to party because they make so much more money than hockey players. Hockey players are out there with Miller Lite and, you know, Andre Champagne, right? And so they got my budget in hockey, but they are still dudes. And I mean, like, my God, the time that they have. And then, you know, you've got football players. I think it'd be fun. That baseball would kind of be way down on the list.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's kind of the order that I would kind of put it in. I think hockey players, man, they're just guys. They're dudes, right? They lose teeth. They get punched in the face. They got a bad stuffed animal at the Olympics. It's like, what are we doing here?
That
was so bizarre.
Very bizarre.
But they go out and they party like it's nobody's business. And so, hockey by far. And the NBA is a distant second, but they're definitely number two. Because in the NBA, you know, you're getting private jet. You're getting,
Like, VIP.
If somebody else is picking up that tab, I'm in.
And there's probably a legend that's going to show up. You're like, damn, Hakeem's out here partying with us. All right.
Kevin Garnett, what?
Yeah, you don't know who you're going to run into. But like hockey, you don't know who you're going to run into because you don't know most of the people.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good list. I would have taken partying with the Chiefs last year. That would have been cool. That would have been a life-changing thing. But hey, it's all right.
Yeah.
Another chance maybe someday.
Well, it's our fault they lost.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Who blamed us?
Well, if Cody and Gold would have gone, the Chiefs would have won.
Mm-hmm.
Was that somebody text that in?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they went to the two previous ones that they
gotcha.
Won.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Just so happens we were the anchor for the loss. If I could be anywhere, it'd be if like the U.S. men's team won the Ryder Cup and I got to be on the bus back to
that's
like,
a good
see,
one.
That would be fun too.
That's a great one.
That would be absolutely a lot of fun.
Like just seeing the, like maybe at one point seeing Scottie Scheffler take over as the DJ and just because they released his golf playlist.
Oh no.
And it's everything you would think of. It was like Yacht Rock and like George Strait and Bailey Zimmerman and stuff like that. Like
that's all over the place.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was like a Texas Boys playlist, right? Like it was like country music, but like the respect, like the King, right? And then it's like REO Speedwagon,
he had
Journey.
Elvis on there, you said?
No, come on. George is the King. We all know that.
I was thinking the same thing.
I know you were, I'm sure. But yeah, the golf thing would be a lot of fun too, because it's a smaller crowd. The reason hockey is the best is because they're just guys. They blend in. I mean, you see these videos that are coming out of South Beach right now. They're just having fun with everybody. It's what the Royals really did in 14 and 15. They were different than your normal baseball culture of, you know, not being interesting at all. The Royals in 14 and 15 were very entertaining, very fun, embraced the fans. And that's obviously what these guys in hockey do all the time. They embrace the fans because they know they have to embrace the fans.
I would have liked to teleport when they won in Vegas, because when they were showing the video of the Chiefs and the after party after they won, and Travis Kelce was doing the Viva Las Vegas, and they went to like the club and just partied, and that was like peak, like Kelce and Taylor Swift partying together, and Mahomes is just getting Coors lighted out of his mind. That would have been a fun one,
too. But the difference in that, though, those NFL ones are like invite only, and true, they're sanctioned by the team. Like, these dudes are just going to bars on South Beach and walking around on the bar and pouring shots into people's mouths. Like, that right there, you'll never, ever, ever forget that. There was a place in Vegas, Casino Royale, back in the day that had a leprechaun on the bar and would pour shots in your mouth. The Casino Royale doesn't exist anymore, which is very sad because it was like $5 blackjack. And again, that's my budget.
Somebody said, my D-League hockey team won the Stanley Keg.
Yeah.
Took the trophy to the local hockey bar, and it was one of the best nights of our lives.
Speck did that.
And they said Speck was there.
Yeah, he was on that team. They did that. They took it to the blue line. They hit with the Stanley Keg and won that. And that, I mean,
that's awesome.
That's what you do, though. Like, hockey is just a lot
of
fun, man.
Stanley Keg is great.
It is. It was great. Yeah, Specter was on that team, and I remember him coming in. Like, yeah, we won the Stanley Keg. You're like, all right, congratulations. Sweet, you have an opponent?
So I asked you guys the question because I'll tell you what I learned last night, because I asked, did last night teach you anything? And what it taught me last night is that there is not a college coach, let alone might not be a coach outside of maybe Andy Reid. Shoot, maybe I'll throw McVay in there. I don't know if I want to put him up there yet, but like, where they are an advantage. And Bill Self has that. Like, when he walks out, and everybody gets that shot of him walking out with like 3 minutes until the game starts. 41-0 on Big Monday at home. Never really seems like the matchup is too much. I know the Iowa State game was a blowout in Ames, but it's, you know, like they say, college basketball home court. But losing in embarrassing fashion like they did against Cincinnati and acting like he went into the locker room with the Will Smith device from Men in Black and just, that didn't happen. And then you come out against Houston, who's a damn good team, and you were dominant. You were up by 20 at one point. You won by 13. And that just looked like two different teams. And one thing Bill Self has done all year that we know is he's coached two different teams. And he's grown these kids up within that team. Flores developed into be one of probably the Big 12 defensive player of the year and can be a weapon. White last night was a weapon that Bill Self was like, here's what they're going to do. They're going to double Peterson and they're going to stop penetration from Melvin Council to the middle of the lane. What we're going to do is we're going to kick out to White and trust this kid, because he went to Kansas for a reason, because he's really good at basketball. So that's what he did. And last night, what that taught me last night is that Bill Self is the coach of the year.
You know, what I look at last night's game, and this is going to sound arrogant for a second, but I didn't learn anything. It just reassured everything I already knew about Bill Self and about the University of Kansas. This is what they do. And I love watching games like this because of all the noise and the people that always seemingly want to doubt Kansas and want to doubt Bill Self. No matter what the game is, no matter what the season is, no matter where they are, there's always the Bill Self doubters. There's always the Kansas doubters. There's always, oh, we're not going to do this. And they do it every single time to a tune of winning 80% of your games. And so I think last night for me just reassured everything I knew about Bill Self and made it, I think, very clear to a lot of other people out there. You know, we talked about Andy Reid in that 11-6 season being maybe his best coaching job, you know, when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago with Kadropius as their wide receiver and whoever else they had on that team,
MVS.
Right? MVS. And they ended up winning, you know, the Super Bowl. They found a way to put it all together. And
ironically, and MVS has the biggest catch of the year.
I know, right? And peak at the right time. It's so, but that's, you know, this is Kansas basketball. Every year you could write the script. And we did. Ask Alex sometime about the Kansas basketball script or Kling. And every year it goes like this. They hit that lull about the end of January, beginning of February. People start to, oh no, this team isn't going to be that good. And then about this time they start to turn it on. And I think everybody saw that last night. I think last night was the wake-up call for the rest of college basketball. Anybody been sleeping on this team and doubting this team and Darren Petersoning this team? I'll tell you what, this team is now here, and you better not want them in your bracket. You better not want them in your bracket right now, because they do exactly what they do at this time every year. They have one of these type of games, and now it's go time. And Kansas is going to finish this season strong. They'll play good in Kansas City, and they'll be a top three seed in the NCAA tournament, and they'll probably be playing, you know, in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight with an opportunity to, you know, go to the Final Four. That's what they do. That's what this team does. I mean, Bill Self is just, I mean, I don't know that there's anybody more reliable, Dusty, to your point, in sports that I've ever seen than Bill Self, or a Bill Self coached team, I should say, because for 23 years, with 23 years of different personalities and different rules and different things that you got to deal with, Bill Self still cranks out winners. So Bill Self coached teams, you can set your clock by these things, man.
Yeah, I think it just, like you, Bob, I think it just reemphasized some of what I was already trying to kind of put out in the world. That, like, this team has the most ways to win out of any team that I've watched in college basketball right now. Just from a roster perspective, I think they run eight or nine deep. I think they can play big. I think they can go small and fast.
He went eight last night. Eight. That was a short bench last night.
Yeah, could, and had more, right? He could have played more guys, but I think that was him saying, you know, we're not going to, in the second half, up by 20. No, Darren Peterson's coming back in. He's going to play the whole game. And that, I loved that. I was worried about that in the second half. Came back, played the whole game. But they have multiple ways to beat you. They can switch on defense. They can go against the zone. They have the best player in college basketball. And, oh, yeah, they have the best coach in college basketball. And I don't think it's particularly close, maybe, with either, especially the coach and Bill Self. I mean, it's so funny. The
and
juxtaposition.
They have the best defender in the Big 12.
And they have the best defender in the Big 12 and a top three defender in college basketball.
And maybe one of the top 5 point guards in the Big 12.
I don't know much about that, but yeah, Melvin Council's awesome, and he's great. He's one of the fastest players in the league. They've got multiple guys who can shoot the three.
I would say that's Bill's 5 that taught you last night. That's the core, is Council, Peterson, White, Flory, and Tiller. Those are your 5.
The biggest coaching move that got made last night by Bill Self was when the video going around of Peterson trying to sub himself out after a 3-point shot, and Bill's going, get down the court, and kept him in that game.
I don't think he was trying to sub himself out.
Well, that's what the perception
again.
That's, you know,
which is definitely not what was happening.
But then people are going to take it. But if that was the case, let me say, the case, Bill keeping him in there and not letting him come out, that was a coaching move. Because if he hits that shot and comes out of the game, immediately everybody's questioning Darren Peterson. And so him playing 30 minutes last night and Bill making sure he played 30 minutes last night, that's a low-key, really good coaching move by Bill Self to try to end this narrative now that is surrounding Darren Peterson. Like, can we move forward now?
100%. And I think, I don't know about that instance in general, but I did think that same thing last night. Like, okay, this is Bill Self making a statement. And he said in that Myron Metcalf piece, like, I haven't really gotten the chance to coach the kid yet.
Yeah. That hit me.
Yeah.
Because I know how many kids Bill Self has changed and coached. And that's the one thing that Bill has always loved to do, which is why 10 years ago we were having these conversations about going for the one, maybe longer than that now, going for the one and done type players. He goes, what do you want me to do? Stop recruiting the best players in the country? I'm like, no. But Bill's at his best when he can mold these guys, and you got 2, 3, 4 years and you get these teams together. He's so good at coaching players.
Coming up on the other side, Vern gave us something that we now need to monitor for this Royal season. Plus, Bob has a rule that he'd like to share in one word with Mac Morey here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I do want to address this text because it is kind of interesting. But I think we can debunk it a little bit, because somebody says on the text line, any chance, all the alumni there last night knew something that we don't know. Is Bill Self done after this game? So to play both sides, we are now at the point in Bill Self's career where any year could be his last year. And I think everybody would be like, yeah, it's
fine.
Are
we going to get to the Andy Reid level of this where Probably. We're reporting Bill Self is retiring before he is, right?
We kind of know who his, at least
an hypothesis would say that his coach in waiting might be Jock Vaughn.
I would imagine that's probably the guy.
Yeah. Nobody in Lawrence, I think, disagrees with that move.
Nope.
Jock's got a lot of experience in the college game and the pro game as well.
Yep. Well, he coached the Nets, so I don't know. That's like coaching a junior high, you know? Like, but he's dealt with that mess, you know?
Yeah, so, it's there's that. But also, like, those two rows, for those of you that follow Kansas, know that those are always filled. I mean, I think the Morris twins are like living in Lawrence right now.
They seem to be half a duplex. Game. Angel runs it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're down there for most games as well. But Sharon Collins is there a lot.
I love that he was there. That's so cool. Yeah. I love when he's there.
He's always around.
He was my favorite.
Yeah.
He just won a state title at Oak Park last year in high school basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's coaching in the area.
Yes, he's coaching. That's right.
You know, Elijah Johnson and his wife are doing coaching in the area. We were at a game 2 weeks ago. We're like, is that Elijah Johnson on the court coaching? And we're like, oh my God, it is. He's out there coaching girls basketball at one of the Blue Valley schools. And
sick.
Yeah, it was like him and his wife are doing some really cool things with high school basketball and just basketball in general, I guess, here in Kansas City. I'm like, God, that looks like Elijah Johnson. And one of the other guys, Tim's like, I think that is Elijah Johnson. And sure enough, yeah, Elijah Johnson out there coaching. So these guys are around and it's a big Monday game. It's Houston. It has nothing to do with whether or not it's going to be Bill's last game or not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They just want to be there and be part of what's going on. It's been that way forever at KU. There's always been the alums coming back. I mean, you see the atmosphere. Who wouldn't want to be
Hell
there for
yeah.
a game, right?
It's a brotherhood.
Is the NBA still on hiatus right now?
I do want to read you this headline on ESPN right now with the vampire in studio. He's not in studio. He's in his basement. That is Mel Kiper, the mock vampire. Here's Mel Kiper's Fernando Mendoza comp for the NFL.
Okay.
Mendoza has a similar skill set to Matt Ryan and in some ways Peyton Manning.
Okay, I'm going to go home. This was the guy who stumped for Shador Sanders. I mean, I got nothing else to add but that.
Matt Ryan, Peyton Manning. So
I told you the Mel Kiper story about how he got this job, right? So
yeah, he's a vampire.
Well, when this whole thing started back in the early 80s, my friend Howard Balzer was working for ESPN at the time, and he was like the Mel Kiper guy before Mel Kiper, and then Kiper snaked the job from him and has been there ever since, sitting on top. And so he just early on in the draft just established himself as the draft expert and put out the manuals and all. I used to subscribe to them and get all the Mel Kiper stuff before you had the ability to do this on your computer. You had books that would come in the mail, you know? And so he just established himself and cornered the market basically on the NFL draft. He's never right.
No.
Wrong. His mocks are one of the worst mock drafts out there. But again, what does that go back to? Perception. Mel Kiper has created this perception
that
he is the end-all, be-all when it comes to the NFL draft. And who's the first person we look at when a mock draft comes out?
Jay Binkley.
It's Mel effing Kiper. I mean, it really is. It's the same with the NBA. Their perception is that they're you know, a bad league or whatever you want to perceive it as. The perception for Mel Kiper is he is the end-all, be-all when it comes to the draft.
That guy's an idiot, man.
Mel Kiper said this, and Mel Kiper said that. It's this whole world is just perception. It's how you perceive things. And he comes up there on ESPN, and we all freeze and go, what's Mel Kiper saying? Even though he's never been right.
I heard Goff and Purdy as a comp for Mendoza. I like that more.
Yeah, better than Peyton Manning and MVP Matt Ryan.
I mean, come on, man. Like,
five reasons Mel Kiper's a vampire. Number one, never seen him in daylight.
Uh-huh,
number two, no crosses.
Number three, no cell phone.
Number three, never seen his reflection. Number four, reports are from ESPN, most of his food, no garlic. Number five,
reports.
Hair.
Hello, America.
Tell me that's not a vampire on the left side of your screen.
Yeah, right? No, I mean, it's crazy.
I want to take Mendoza.
Here's his draft. Who's he got going to nine to the Chiefs? Jeremiah Love. So that's not happening.
Huh.
No.
He has Caleb Downs going two to the Jets.
Wow. Yeah, that's not happening either, but that means, I mean, yeah, Caleb Downs is good.
Reason number six, steel or whatever they can't have, metal. That's werewolves.
They can't have metal. Yeah, that's werewolves.
Doesn't like wooden steaks.
Yeah, wooden steaks.
Never seen Mel Kiper eat a kebab.
Because blood tastes like metal.
Yeah.
Kebab.
Yeah, dude.
Reports are he's having less garlic.
Supposedly.
Get Caliendo on the line. Let's get his Kiper mock.
Yes. Per sources says Mel Kiper doesn't eat a lot of garlic. You tell me. You ever see Mel Kiper in front of a mirror?
No.
You ever seen him in the sun?
I've never seen him out of his house.
Because he's a vampire.
Except at the draft. I think there is something to be said about that. Like, he never leaves his house.
And draft is when? At night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he'll get to Pittsburgh. I hear they have a lot of bats there.
Yeah, that dude has a diet of O negative, and that's it, dude. One thing I am worried about that is a negative with the Kansas City Royals is what Vern kind of let us know yesterday, because you kind of asked the question I was wondering, like, you know, are you worried about the World Baseball Classic for any of the players because maybe they need to probably be more focused staying home? He brings up kind of the name Carlos Estevez, and it's worrisome.
Worse or better afterward. Lugo, Waka, they've been doing it long enough. I could say the same for Carlos Estevez. You know, the thing is with Carlos, like we saw last year in spring training, you know, the velocity's not there at all for Carlos. But at this time last year, that's exactly what was happening. And he, you know, as only he can, kind of laughs it off, and I'll be fine. You know, this is normal. It takes me a while to really get it ramped up. You know, last year he had a back issue. Doesn't seem as if he's dealing with anything right now. But you saw the video of Vinny taking a bridge and he waves at the ball. Carter Jensen did something similar and Carlos was waving at the ball. Jack took him oppo, you know, 400 and some odd feet. So he struggles with lefties. And look, if this guy's going to be the closer, I would imagine he's going to be, he needs to be well over 90, right, with that heater. And I don't know if it's there right now, so you know, we'll see. We'll see. He's got another week here, and if things don't start to turn around for Carlos, I don't know what role he would serve for.
So that's Vern on Estevez, and that's why I told you yesterday, it's like February 23rd, I believe. Yep, today's 24th. Because we've asked, you know, like, what are you going to this season expectation-wise, or who's, you know, kind of on the watch or whatever it may be? And, you know, Cags, his name's there. What's Carter Jensen going to do? What is Cole Reagans going to do? How are we going to see Noah Cameron bounce back? And we really didn't talk a whole lot about Estevez, who has one of the most important jobs on this team and in one of the most intense situations of the game. And I'll tell you right now, I don't have patience for guys that, you know, destroy games in the ninth inning. That's just one thing that I've always hated in baseball. It's made me frustrated. My dad is a very passionate fan about baseball and gets, you know, modulated at times when it comes to certain things that are just like, just relax. It's all right. People are going to strike out. But there's one thing I don't like, and that's going into a ninth inning with a run one lead and not feeling safe. And there were times last year, even though Estevez had 42 saves and led baseball in that category, where he's still out there and you're like, I hope he's on it tonight. And now we have this velocity down. He's going to the World Baseball Classic. Obviously, he's going to play for his country. Nothing wrong with that. But that's your ninth inning guy. And nothing's going to really deplete a vibe more than having a couple of early leads and early games of the year and then seeing a guy blow the save. So I wonder, you know, is this just a ramp up because he's getting older in his career? Or is this legitimately, Bob, something to actually like kind of put in the back of your mind and say, just remember what Vern's was talking about?
That's why I wrote it down yesterday. It was very concerning. You could hear me on there go, ugh. I mean, when he started talking about, real quick, some breaking news. The Atlanta Braves announced their new TV network this morning, right? It's going to be called like Braves whatever. Seconds later, they announced that they have signed Chris Sale to a one-year deal worth $27 million with a $30 million option for club for 2028. I mean, my God, the money that is flowing down in Atlanta right now with Chris Sale. What did Detroit do today? Did they do something?
I think they just got announced the Lions are going to play in Munich.
Oh, they are. Oh, okay. No, I was sticking with the baseball. Yeah, Braves Vision is their new home for Braves baseball, and then they announce an extension.
Is that what everyone will start doing?
I don't know. I
so
don't know
we're
going to
get Royal Vision soon?
You would think if, you know, if
I like
doing
Royal
it the right
Vision.
Day,
that's got a good ring to it.
It does.
What are you doing tonight? Nothing. Just going to be my Royal Vision.
Royal Vision. Royal Vision. You know, but we'll see.
We'll work on it.
Okay, there's so much to talk about with Estevez because
you got 30 seconds.
I know, but there's just so much because I'm going to talk to you like I used to talk to Josh. Not everybody's Mariano Rivera. Not every ninth inning is going to be clean. Okay?
Nobody's every Wade Davis.
Yeah, exactly right. But to me, when you have a team that's really good and you have a closer that isn't, there's nothing worse in sports
no.
than not having a closer finish out Major League Baseball games. We saw that in 2000 with Ricky Blotalico, and that's why he ended up having to trade Johnny Damon to get a closer, Roberto Hernandez, weakening the team, blah, blah, blah. Here we sit. We all know how it plays
followed
out.
Followed by McDougal, followed by Grimsley.
But at least those teams weren't any good. Like, true. You know, and that's where the Chicago White Sox last year, I was watching their spring training game because, yes, that's what I do. I watch spring training baseball now. Some are sicker than others. Right from the Olympics to spring training. Yesterday, right from Florida right to Arizona. I was all over the place yesterday. And one of the things that they were talking about on the White Sox broadcast is they said, we actually went out and got a closer this year because we feel like we're going to be in more games and yada, yada, yada. The last couple of years, we weren't. You've got to figure out a way to close out games, though. There's nothing more demoralizing because I'm just picturing it right now. The Royals have a 4-3 lead. They did everything they could to win. The guy comes in, lights the gas can on fire. It blows up. The frustration's in the locker room. It happens over and over and over and over again, and you can't get those wins. You can't get past not having a closer. And so for me, after hearing Vern say all of that, Dusty, I think that's a bigger concern for me going into the season than anything lineup related. If Estevez isn't on, it really doesn't matter what the rest of the team does because you can't close out games, and that stinks. And that's something to really monitor as we move forward.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
I hope all the kids are in the back seat quoting that sounder. Oatmeal raisin, velociraptor, yes. Everything that has nothing to do with one word. Chiefs
great.
Do play the Lions this year, correct?
Because
they play the Rams, the Seahawks, right?
That's a different division.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. That's
yeah,
a different division.
NFC
West. So they don't play
the
North.
They don't play the North.
So they're not going to Germany.
And they weren't. Chiefs were third in their division. Lions were
last.
Yeah. So, yep, they won't play each other. Okay. Let's start with what last night was. KU wins 69-56. Nice. One word on KU winning. Darren Peterson playing the whole game, 14 points for him.
He didn't play the whole game, Mac. He played 30 minutes.
He played 30 of the 40 minutes. I don't understand why he wasn't out there the full time. But
come on, Mac. And he has to be taken out of the game, too.
Yeah. Normal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, come on, man. Or he was going back
to play
defense.
Give the real stats, Mac.
I mean, come on, Mac. 6 of 15 from beyond the arc.
Spewing last night after hours. Lies. E-lies.
Yeah, all lies. No, normal. That's the word I'll use. That was a normal Kansas basketball game last night, you know, and another word I'll use, enjoyable. I mean, it was an enjoyable watch last night.
Fun.
It was a calm, easy game that you never really felt stressed in, you know. Yeah, it was close in the first half. Every game's close at the beginning. It starts 0-0.
Charlie and Juliana shouting out one word. Dawson and Holly quoting it Monday through Friday. Shout out. Go be good
Let's
in school
go.
And have fun with your day. Enjoy life while you're young. My one word is... Bob said it was fun. That was a fun game. My one word would be impressive. Coming off that embarrassing loss at home, yet all your fans came out the next day to get the raffle for the seats in the student section, and Bill Self spoke to them.
Bill Self's like, what are you doing here? They're like, Houston.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, big game.
And
let's go win.
They showed up. They won. They move on. Now they got a big one on Saturday at Arizona. So enjoy it, but on to that big, tall, brutal team of Arizona in Arizona. The last night was big.
Royals spring training. Could have heard him yesterday on 96.5. The Fan. They play again today at 2:05 against the Reds. Right now, four spring training games in for the Royals. 2-2. 500.
I thought this
was a playoff team.
These guys are not doing what they need to do to advance it to the next level. This is some serious bull crap,
panic
man.
Button.
Hey, Cags is 2-5.
Here we go. One word on the Royals, though, so far. I know there's not big stories out yet, but one word on spring training games being here.
I love the fact that spring training is being here, but the word I'll use is quiet, and that's what you want. You don't want a lot of news coming out of spring training. It means you don't have a set roster. Mm-hmm. You know, I like going into camp, and you know, people will argue this, but I like going in with your team kind of set where everybody's just getting ready. I don't need position battles. I don't need every, you know, spot on the offensive line open and up for grabs. So it's just a calm, good spring training, and that's what you want. You don't want a lot of storylines coming out, in my opinion anyway, because I think most storylines, as we've seen, are negative.
My one word would be soon. kind of like that sunrise that happens earlier and earlier, or the sunset that happens later and later. Soon, those days are coming. And spring training being played on the radio is an indicator that it is right around the corner, because the World Baseball Classic is March 5th.
And we'll stick with that World Baseball Classic before we get to some NFL news. Tarek Skubal says he'll make one start for the USA in the World Baseball Classic before returning to the Tigers. It looks like he'll start against Great Britain.
Joy.
One word. One and done for Tarek Skubal.
Weak. I mean, you know, what NHL player, I'm just going to play one game and come back after the Olympics. Like, this is the big showcase event for Major League Baseball, right? Yeah. And you're playing for your country. Ask these hockey players how much that meant to them. I mean, I know it's at a different time of year, but I think it's kind of weak for Tarek Skubal. Like, if you guys win, don't you want to be part of what's going on with Team USA? They beat Japan. They win the gold medal. They win the World Baseball Classic. And you're back in Dunedin, you know, scratching your ass, not being part of that. Like, those are moments that you will never have an opportunity to recreate.
Yeah, man, I don't like this. And that's why I threw it in there last night or yesterday afternoon. I feel like this is one of those things where you're either all in or you're all out.
Yes.
Because the end of the quote that I believe he says is that if they get to the gold game, I'll go back and...
No.
I'll,
No. Once you leave, you're gone.
Because he says that. He says, if they get to the gold, I'm going to try like hell to convince my team to let me go root on the boys. Nah, man. Like...
Oh, you can go root them on, I guess, if you want.
Buy a
but
ticket.
Yeah.
But like, now you want to go back if and only if they make the gold? No. Like, what are we doing, Tarek Skubal?
Screw off.
I mean, if one thing we learn from these Olympics is that when you compete for the United States, you win that gold medal, you are a legend. It is legendary. Like, yeah. I was not into the World Baseball Classic, but now that I'm seeing how the international stage is going and the opportunities that these baseball... See, that's the problem with baseball. They have no personalities, right? Go out there and be an American personality like these hockey players were, man. Go out there and live it up and enjoy. Now, he is going into free agency and all that, but still, man, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, come on.
You want to be part of that. That'll be the thing. He's sitting there as an old man going, I wish I would have stayed.
Yeah, but don't worry. He's helping us out against Great Britain.
Great Britain.
We'll really need him.
Yeah. Now, Great Britain, if I'm not mistaken, the last time had, like, uniforms that fell apart or something. Like, they had the logo was either spelled wrong or it was stuck on with masking tape
or something.
There was some Great Britain uniform fiasco at the last World Baseball Classic. So, yeah, you're right. You're going to pitch against Great Britain? That's like hockey saying they're going to go out there and play against, you know, Greenland or whatever. Somebody didn't even have a team.
Yeah, just one word would be disappointed.
100%. And that is growing closer. NFL Combine is growing closer. As it is here, they are in Indy right now. Drills, workouts, measurements, all those things will start on Thursday. I was on After Hours last night. Chris Unicero of Character Concerns with Jay Binkley was producing. So made sure to pick his brain, ask him some things. He said Thursday and Saturday are the days to watch if you're a Chiefs fan, watching defensive linemen and then watching running backs and wide receivers on Saturday. One word on the NFL Combine this week.
Gossip. Because that's what's going to happen all week long. They're all having shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's. They're all getting, you know, together to tell stories and to share ideas and to spread rumors. Gossip, man. All of the noise coming out of the Combine is glorious. I love it.
Yeah, and we'll have people on the show from that Combine. We'll have, obviously, Binkley, who's tied in. He's got reminders on his TV, his Roku, his cell phone, and his watch. Matt McMullen down there, Mitch Holtis down there as well, Nate Taylor down there too.
Yep.
So, you know, we said soon for baseball, quickly for football, because football, obviously, it seems like a much more planned out offseason that really kind of expedites the feelings and the thoughts that get you to the season, because once the draft happens, everybody's like,
well,
all right.
It is funny because, like, less than 2 weeks, the tampering period starts. Baseball's free agency begins the week after the World Series and everybody sleeps until February. NFL tampering begins next Monday the 9th or whatever it is, and everybody will be active and it will be so good, and then by Wednesday it will all be done. Like they as Dusty said, you got a window for free agency, they take advantage of it because it's on to the next. Baseball needs to do that. I mean, that gets people excited, you know? Same with the NBA. July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, let's go!
I'm going to give you guys one word before we go to break. Text line says, Tarek Skubal, more like Darren Skubal.
Take the week.
It's fantastic.
Very well done. Very, very well done. Credit where credit's due.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well played. Oh, God, that's good.
Darren Scoobal. Trying to get paid, man. Trying to look out.
See, that's funny. Everybody could laugh at that. Like, even Bill's laughing at that this morning.
I'm going to give you a number called 11.5. You take the over or the under. We discuss what team that represents here on 96.5, the Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
Out of anybody should talk, he should never grab a microphone.
And Dusty Likens.
His ass is foul of all foul.
Weekdays, 6 to 10. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5, The Fan.
Cool little college basketball stat here for you. Most times ranked in the AP poll in the past dozen years. Number 5, Arizona. At 170, Kentucky 191, Gonzaga 201, Duke 210 times, Kansas 220 times. Kansas wins a big game last night against Houston in Allen Fieldhouse as Bill Self improves to 41-0 at home on Big Mondays. Mizzou going to take care of business tonight against the Tennessee Volunteers. At least I hope so.
We'll see about that.
Believe yesterday they were 3.5-point dogs. The disrespect in Columbia continues, but that's okay. It is battle the SEC on a Tuesday night. Duke plays, but I don't think they have a really tough game tonight. They have a see here real quick. This is they played Notre Dame at Notre Dame. But again, the so if you want to watch Cameron Boozer play, but Missouri and Tennessee 8 o'clock. Missouri 3.5-point dogs or 4.5, depending on where you get them. But the NFL win season totals are out. As of last year, the Chiefs were 11.5 wins over or under. They've dropped one full game to 2026 as 10.5 is the over under for the Kansas City Chiefs. You taking the over, the under, thinking the Chiefs won 11 games this year?
Well, I think what the interesting thing about this is that that's tied for the most wins in the AFC West going into the season for their over-under with the Chargers of Los Angeles. And so it's interesting to look at that to me because I didn't think the Chiefs would have that high of a win total, right, at 10.5. And I didn't think they'd be the number one win total team in the AFC West because I just thought everybody would pick the Chargers or the Broncos, which, by the way, same number going into next season as they had last season, 9.5. I think people are looking at the close games maybe for the Denver Broncos, and look how it flipped for Kansas City. The Broncos may be that team that won all those close games, and you see the Kansas City effect take place with the Denver Broncos, and then the Raiders have less wins than they did a year ago. They're at five right now. We still don't know who their quarterback is. For me, though, I want to ask you guys, why do you think Vegas has this much faith in the Chiefs? And not just Vegas right now. What gives you guys the most confidence to take the over on the Kansas City Chiefs going into next season, taking the over of 10.5, which means you think they're going to win 11 games? And for me, it's pretty simple. Andy Reid getting the extra rest to kind of rejuvenate, you know, what happened after last season. The Patrick Mahomes comeback tour, I think, is going to be bigger than we can even put into words. And I think we may see a Chris Jones rebound because he is getting criticized a lot this offseason for the way that he played during the regular season. And so that's why I think I would take the over at 10.5. What about you guys?
I love the Chris Jones rebound. I'd be all over that. I can see that happening, especially if they're able to get him a little more help up there. I think part of it is, I mean, obviously just Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but I think in sports too, I think we're in Vegas may be keen to this is the swing back, right? The swing back season, swing back game, whatever it is, kind of, all right, we lost this, now we're going to win this. I mean, we just saw it in a shorter term, right, with KU. That loss to Cincinnati, worst loss of the season. What are they going to do? They're going to come back, and they're going to right the ship, and they're going to beat Houston at home. That's kind of right what's going to happen here in Kansas City. You've got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in charge, and the way last season went, they're going to figure out how to rectify that and change things. I would go with Mahomes' revenge, and listen, I'll be beating this drum all offseason. I think this offensive line is going to be very, very good. Top 10 at least in the NFL. Josh Simmons is fantastic. We know what the center and guard are. Kingsley Sumiati'a was fantastic for the most part last season, especially the latter half of the year. And then right tackle is a question mark right now. But two guys that I thought looked pretty solid in their flashes in Isipole and Jalen Moore. I think this is an offensive line. That, Mahomes, and a revamped running game gives me a lot of reason to be confident.
And I think that's why the offensive line has a chance, because hopefully there is a revamped running game and there is more of an emphasis to be a balanced offensive team. Because as I was looking at the offensive line last year, and we had these conversations, like, just something just seems off. Something seems to be missing. And as you start to kind of put it all together and look back and, you know, have the hindsight be 2020, I guarantee a big reason why the offensive line didn't play up to its level last year was because of Andy Reid and his play calling and his decision making on the sidelines and being too predictable.
One dimensional, 100%.
Being too predictable. At any time you put your people in position to not be successful, well, they aren't successful. And I think we saw that with offense this year. I think a lot of it really has to be a reset by Andy Reid.
I think if you look at what you have to, and that is the anomaly of 6-11. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, I think, last year for the Chiefs, right? Your first round pick that you had hype about, didn't really worry about the injury, and then was gone for 5 weeks. Your number two wide receiver is injured on the third play of the game. Your running back game, you knew it wasn't going to be great, wasn't great. I'm thinking that they're trusting that the Kansas City Chiefs are a smart enough and good enough team to realize what they didn't do right. They've got to work on in this offseason. They've had a lot of time to focus on that. I know that for a fact they're putting their heads together and they're going to, you know, get busy this offseason. It starts with the combine that's currently going on in Indianapolis. We'll see what they do free agent wise. I'd love to see if that number, you know, alternates, if they go get like a Breece Hall or a Travis Etienne, who's, you know, linked to maybe wanting to be on the Kansas City Chiefs roster. It goes back to what we always do every year before the year starts. Who's the quarterback? Who's the coach? I think both have a reason to be pissed off next year. Not like pissed, but pissed. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think that also factors into it. And just the respect value. Like, do you really honestly think that we will see another year like we saw last year? But the other part about it is what they do in this offseason, is it 5 games of improvement? Because to get to 11... right? You were 6 games in the winning category last mm-hmm. year. Didn't beat a playoff team. Didn't do well in your own division. But also, you have to think about, what is your division going to do? What do the Chargers look like next year? What do the Broncos look like next year?
Well, what does your schedule look like?
And then also, I know that the schedule, when it came out of who you're going to play, it's like, man, they got a brutal schedule according to this year.
I'm looking at it right now, and I'll tell you what, I don't think it's brutal at home. These are the opponents that aren't in the division. They play the Cardinals, the Colts, the Jets, the Patriots, the 49ers.
Yeah, that's not murderer's row.
That doesn't scare me.
Now, say them again.
This is at home, not division. Cardinals, Colts, Jets, Patriots, 49ers.
Yeah, what's the scariest team? It is the 49ers.
Probably, but even them, like, we could talk about them. Every player that they are hoping is 31 or over. I don't know how much longer they have at their reign over there in the
NFC.
See
what New England looks like playing a good schedule.
Yep, exactly.
See what the Patriots look like, right? And then the away, a little harder, but again, I think there's a lot of winnable games here. Again, not division games. Bengals, Bills, okay?
Yep.
Dolphins, Falcons, Rams, Seahawks. Harder away games, no doubt. You got to win some of those 50-50 tough opponents, but
a lot of new coaches in that, too.
Yeah, I see 11 wins. I see 10, 11 wins. I do.
Okay. Put your money where your mouth is.
I will, baby.
Yeah, I think that's fair to look at 10 or 11 wins.
Yeah,
right, you know, there for this team, but the 10.5 is the number. So are you going over or are you going under?
I'd like to know if it's like plus 100 go over.
Yeah, I'll take the over. I think the 785 hits the nail on the head as well. As if Veach hits that number 9 pick, you've got another cornerstone for Mahomes at whatever position that is.
Would you be more confident betting over 81 wins for the Royals or over 10.5 wins for the Chiefs?
I'm going to take the Chiefs. Today. I'm going to take the Chiefs on this one, and the reason is the Estevez stuff. That's very concerning with me. Very concerning. The closer makes all the difference in the world. It just does. There's nothing more demoralizing in sports. Imagine if Hellebuck wasn't a good goaltender. How demoralizing that is, right? That's what it is to have a bad closer in baseball. Oh, God. It's the worst.
Yeah, that's...
And puts pressure on everybody else.
Both teams have a lot of question marks, right? I would just say the question marks with the Chiefs are pointed towards Hall of Famers, towards GOATs. They're pointed towards Mahomes and Andy Reid. I'm going to trust them to answer those more than I'm going to trust the the Cags, the Jensens, and Estevas with a back, I've got more worries there.
Yeah, I'd
take the over on both.
Yeah, and I probably would take the over on both, but if you're asking, as Dusty legitimately did ask, so I'm going to answer. No, I would take the Chiefs. They get the benefit of the doubt. They've done it before. We know that they know how to figure things out. They had a blip on the radar, so they get the benefit of the doubt in that
last 2 years. The Royals have been over 81.
Yeah, they have been. Yeah.
But just a little bit of thought there. Yeah. But yeah, the Chiefs have done it for a decade.
Yeah.
Give me the Royals all day.
Let's go.
I think they can win 85. I don't know what that means for where the season ends, but I think they can get to 85.
When Vern questions things like he did yesterday, though, with Estevez, man, that makes me listen. Because Vern knows what he's talking about. A lot of the stuff that Vern says, I'll just be honest with you, is informed opinions. And so if Estevez is a conversation that's happening with Vern, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, in surprise are talking about it and wondering about it and wanting to know about it. And hell, maybe people even around baseball are talking about it right now. That to me, it's a big red flag from Vern yesterday going into this season.
Something to monitor for sure. But it is a Tuesday. So coming up next, Bob gives you his bonehead of the week, Raw, on 96.5 The Fan. You're on for Kansas City Sports.
I'm like pissed.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.